Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in his beautiful kalam, أحسب الناس, does insan think that because he has recited the kalima, أَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا, that he has recited the kalima, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, he will not be tested, that Allah will leave him. And so in this ayat-e kareema, a very important message is given to the people of Iman, that if a person has been blessed with Iman and Islam, it does not mean that no harm can ever come to him. It does not mean that difficulty will not come to him. It does not mean that he is completely immune from every kind of trauma of this dunya. It doesn't mean that. And so in this ayat-e kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us to understand the reality of dunya. I often say this to that person who accepts Islam, the reverts. Personally, I call this the new Muslim syndrome. And I say to them that because you are a new Muslim, don't think that this dunya will be jannat for you. Some people think that because from kufr, from darkness, from difficulty, I have accepted shahada and I am a revert to Islam, and therefore like a switch of a button, everything must go like how I want it to go. Unfortunately, many people suffer this. Many people. So when they read the kalima, after reading the kalima, I say to them, if you don't mind, I don't mean to offend you, but can I give you some advice? Something that is very important. Number one, you are a human being. Number two, you are living in this dunya, this world. Number three, be thankful that Allah Pak has given you Iman and Islam and you are on the right path. So don't think that because you woke up for Fajr, that you read Tahajjud, you went for Hajj. There should be a group of 100 angels stopping every kind of difficulty aimed at you. It doesn't work that way. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. In this dunya, a person will be touched by fear, loss of wealth, loss of health, difficulty. He might be tested with his partner. He might be tested by the children that Allah has given him. He might be tested by the business that Allah has given him. He could be tested in different ways. But what is our fundamental duty is to understand the nature of this dunya and the reality of this dunya, that this difficulty comes upon everyone. Whether you are a Muslim, whether you are not a Muslim, generally the difficulty will come. It's like saying that I'm a human being and a special human being, so I should not have the desire to eat or drink. It doesn't happen. No matter what, you have to eat. No matter what, you have to drink. You have to go for the call of nature. Sometimes you will get a headache. Even Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam suffered from flu, headache, fever. These things happen to Anbiya alayhimus salam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the people of Iman, yes, Alhamdulillah, I have given you ni'mat. I have given you Iman. I have given you everything that requires for you to enter Jannah, but you are in this dunya and this dunya is not designed to be Jannah. In this dunya, you will suffer a bit. But there is a difference between the suffering of that person who has got Iman and that person who hasn't got Iman. This is where the distinction is. This is where you draw the line. This is where everything parts. The suffering of a Muslim is very different to the pain, the difficulty that comes to that person who hasn't got Iman. The energy levels, the coping levels, management level is very different. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah Pak does not overburden a person more than his capacity. So understand this very important fundamental message. Allah does not overburden a person more than his capacity. Allah Pak did not say you have to read Isha namaz for 1 hour, Zohar namaz for 1 hour, Maghrib namaz for 1 hour, Fajr namaz for 1 hour, each namaz for 1 hour. He didn't do that. But each namaz, 7 minutes, bas. 8 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 7 minutes, bas. Something that you can cope with. The ruling is not something that is going to overburden you. In everything about Islam, that is what we have to understand. And so even when it comes to difficulty, the suffering, the pain that comes to you, it is not that Allah will make this dunya Jahannam for you. You may use these words in your day-to-day vocabulary if you don't have sabr. But in reality, Jahannam is a different place and Jannat is a different place. Dunya is not like that. Allah does not make mukallaf. Allah does not overburden a person more than his capacity. Number one. And number two, what we have to understand, that even if any difficulty, pain is given to a Muslim, kisi Musalman ko koi pareshani aati bhi hai, then it is very different to a person who has got no iman. Say, Allah save us. What example can I give? A man has lost millions of pounds. And from being very, very rich, he becomes extremely poor. Number one, the first person has got iman. The second person hasn't got iman. First person has got iman. Same scenario. He was a millionaire, he's in the streets now, he's got nothing. Now a person who's got iman, his level of management is very different because he's connected to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah bizikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. That the hearts are content. That the hearts are content. Why? Because the heart is connected with Allah. The zikr of Allah. The hearts are content. So the attitude will be very different. The person who is a Muslim, and the stronger you are with Allah, the more connection you have with Allah, the more easy it becomes to cope and manage yourself in dunya. And you know what he will say? Arey yaar, paisa to aata hai, jata hai, mere Allah ki marzi kya hai? It's the marzi of, it's what my Allah, ma qaddar Allah, yaar, it's whatever my Allah wanted. Alhamdulillah, I had what I had and Allah gave me and Allah took it. And another person who hasn't got Allah, his attitude might be different. He might go to the pub. He might go to the pub. He might want to have a drink. He might think that, you know what, let me drink something, sharab peeta hoon, so I will forget. Let me take drugs. You know what, let me go to the doctors that they should prescribe me with some medication just to allow me to sleep in the nights. Wallahi, my respected brothers, these are the real things of life. And some even go to the extreme of thinking that, you know what, it's better to die. It's better to commit suicide. Mar jao. So the level of coping is very different. This person cannot cope. He does not know how to manage his life simply because there is, Allah is missing from his life. Who is missing? That is how powerful it is to be connected to Allah. And this is what Allah is saying, that your hearts will remain mutma'in. Your hearts will remain with sukoon and contentment because of the name of Allah. Now it doesn't mean that a Muslim does not feel pain. It doesn't mean that he should go around in the streets and start to dance. A close family member, a child has passed away. He will say, bhai, this is the amanat of Allah and Allah took that amanat. So Allah took it, bhai. Alhamdulillah, my son, my daughter is in Jannah. The wiring of the mind is completely different. Ye jo wiring hai na Musalman ki, itni fantastic, itni beautiful wiring hai iski. Musalman ki wiring. that you can't fault it. The more these wires are connected to Allah, ye circuit board aapka jo main board hota hai na, if it is connected to Allah, everything is connected to Allah, everything in life becomes very, very easy. Very easy. Subhanallah, everything. And so this is what Allah is saying, that if pain, trauma, difficulty, musibat comes to you, remember, I will be there to assist you, and always say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. This is the difference. But it does not mean that because you have read the kalima, you won't have a car accident. It does not mean because you read the kalima, you won't have cancer. It does not mean because you read the kalima, you won't have COVID. It does not mean because you read the kalima, your wife will not want to divorce you. It does not mean because you read the kalima, your children will all be Jibreel alayhi salam ki tarah, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani ki tarah, all pious. It does not mean that. It doesn't mean that. So we need to understand the reality of dunya. Rain comes to everybody, snow comes to everybody, and everything happens to everybody. But the end result, this is something very important. The end result, oh, when it comes to a person who's very strong with iman, he looks at things in a very, very different way. In a very different way. And I was watching a documentary of these, the Russians and the Americans who entered in the 80s Afghanistan. Do you recall that? And they thought that these, which are prehistoric creatures, what did they think they were? Prehistoric creatures wearing parachutes. What were they wearing? What do I mean when I say parachutes? You Pathan ki izar dekhi aapne, 15 people can fit inside. How many? It's a good thing they have the Nara system. What is it? What do they have? So the Nara, the more you pull your Nara, the tighter it gets. Otherwise the shalwar is so big. So these people are thinking this is a walk in the park. Kya? Hey, inko yaar, isko ye gajar muli ko to yun hi saaf karenge. But did they know? Do they know the power of La ilaha illallah? Do they know the power of Iman? That these guys are standing in front of your sophisticated power, your ammunition, your bombs, and they are there and the bombs are coming down. These guys are praying namaz. And they saying, hey, we just don't understand them. Why is this, my respected brothers? Because the wiring is very different. Kya Musalman ki wiring kya hai? If a doctor was to say to you that, sorry sir, you've only got 3 hours and you will die very soon, he will say, bhai alhamdulillah, give me my tasbih. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, tawbah, istighfar, he will do all tawbah, istighfar. When he dies with a smile. He knows ki, yaar, mere liye to akhirat mein bhi kya hai? Jannat. So my respected brothers and elders, don't think for a moment that because we are Muslims, we are never to get ill, we are never to face difficulty, there won't be a court case, there will be a court case. You might even go to prison. You might even go somewhere else. Wallahu alam, pata nahi kya. Anything can happen. Life is a hazard. It can happen. Anything can happen. But remember, if you are still alive, your management, the way you will cope is very, very different. A Muslim will think and he will say, okay, I'm in this difficulty, but I know my Allah loves me more than my mother and father. What will he say? He loves me more than my mother and father. I know I'm in this difficulty, but I know Allah is Hakim. He is the most wise. Maybe this musibat has come to me so that in the hereafter I enter Jannah straight away. So all of these things are there for a person. There is one very beautiful hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a person will be pushed very high in Jannah and the malaika will tell him that this is your lofty and high position. Why? Because in dunya, this taklif, this pain was given to you, and you did sabr, and you did sabr, and you were very strong, and you submitted to Allah. Because of this, so he will be shown his jannat, and he will say to the angels, because of this one difficulty, Allah is giving me all this. He says, yes. In jannat, he will say, oh, had I known, I would have made dua to my Allah that Allah, it would have been better that you would have made me suffer all my days in dunya for what you have given me in Jannah. It would have been better if I would have suffered all my days in dunya for what you have given me in Jannah, which is eternal. So my respected brothers and elders, for us, it is only a win-win situation. What is it? A win-win situation. Now this sabak, this lesson, was given to the companions. Was given to the companions. Sahaba-i kiram, ajma'in, understood this. Sahaba were very, very intelligent. I touched on the life of one sahabi just today in Jumu'ah, and I just think that I will touch on his life furthermore, because subhanallah, the companions are ajeeb shakhsiyat, you know. Everything about Islam is in their lives. There is one man amongst the companions. Yeah, awaaz kya ho rahi? There is one man amongst the sahaba. Who, at least in his lifetime, 10 times, must have been given this prophecy by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you will be murdered. What? Sadiqul Masduq. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying something, there is no shak. And when he's saying it to the people who had the greatest yaqeen, sahaba, he is saying to this man on different occasions, maybe totaling up as much as 10 times, that you will be murdered. This is how your life will end. Now what is incredible about these companions is that even when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them how their life is going to end, what is amazing is their total submission and connection to Allah and His Rasul. It made absolutely no difference to them. Their love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would only excel. Hazrat Abu Musa Ashari radiyallahu ta'ala an is the narrator. So he says that one day Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out to visit one garden of Medina Munawwara. Sometimes Allah's Nabi wanted to cut off and get away from people. So he went to this garden of Medina. And Hazrat Abu Musa Ashari says, I was fortunate enough to accompany him. And this garden was such that it was like an enclosure. Everything was closed. Entry was only at one point. The doors were closed. So I was sitting with Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting on this high platform above this well where the water was open like a stream. And the beautiful legs of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were dangling down. And he had a stick, and with the stick, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dragging that stick in the water. So I was just there admiring this very beautiful scene of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How fortunate were the companions. Allahu Akbar. So he said that there was somebody at the door who came and wanted permission to enter. Now he says, I have no idea who this person is. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to me, Abu Musa, someone is knocking at the door, no problem. Nor could I see, nor could Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam see. But he said to me, Abu Musa, give permission to the person who is outside, tell him to enter, وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ, and give him basharat of Jannat. Give him glad tidings of Jannah. Wah, wah. Hazrat Abu Musa says, I open the door. Lo, behold, who is in front of me? Who can it be? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. As was the case all the time. You could not separate Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq ever from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Musa met him, made salam to him, and said to him, come, enter, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking for you, come. And basharat of Jannat is given to you. Now, what he did is that here is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting, water, beautiful, cold water. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, out of his love, he comes and he sits next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him permission, sit here. Both of them are sitting, admiring, subhanallah, the garden of Medina. After a while, someone else is knocking. Abu Musa al-Ashari goes to Huzur alayhi salatu wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, again somebody on the door. He says, open the door, allow him to come also. Wabashirhu bil jannah. Give him glad tidings of Jannat. He opens the door. Lo, behold, who is in front of him? The giant amongst the Sahaba. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Come in, come in, come in. Hazrat Umar comes and he decides to sit next to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. What a line. Huzur alayhi salam. Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And they are talking, chatting away. After a while, third knock. Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ashari says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is someone knocking at the door. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, even this person, tell him to come. وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ عَلَىٰ بَلْوَىٰ تُصِبْهُ. Oh, look at the knowledge of the Nabi. This person even give him the glad tidings to come, glad tidings that he will enter Jannah, but extra words were added for this person. With a calamity that will strike at him. With a calamity. وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ عَلَىٰ بَلْوَىٰ, upon a musibat, تُصِبْهُ, that is going to touch him. He opens the door and who is in front of him? Uthman. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an is there. Subhanallah. And Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ashari said to him exactly what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Jannat Basharat is given to you, but with a bit of difficulty, musibat tumhare upas zabardast aayegi. And when he heard this from Abu Musa al-Ashari, you know what he said? Allahul Musta'an. Allahul Musta'an. It is only Allah who is there that we take madad from and ask assistance from. And so, what I'm saying is that on a number of occasions, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had educated his companions that even you as my sahaba who are precious people, your iman is elite, but still in this dunya you will go through difficulty. You will go through, because this is the nature of dunya. But obviously, the level of difficulty that people go through is very different because of their connection with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On one occasion, Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was on the mountain of Uhud with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar and Hazrat Uthman, and the mountain started to shake. Uhud started to shake. Not that it was an earthquake, but out of love. What was it? Out of love. Trembling. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uthbut, Uthbut, ya Uhud. Be calm, Uhud. Fa'inna alayka nabi wa siddiq. Don't you know that upon you is a nabi and a siddiq wa shahidan and two martyrs. What did he say? Two martyrs. Look at that. Allah's Nabi is telling them how you are going to die, how you are going to pass away. Hazrat Osman is informed here. At least 10 times, we haven't got time, but I'm just touching on things what is coming to mind. On one occasion, he called Hazrat Osman and he says, Osman, Allah will bless you with a certain type of garment. And they will be the hypocrites that will want to take from you and snatch from you this garment. Don't allow them to take away this kurta of yours until you meet me. Until you meet me. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was referring, the garment means khilafat. The garment means khilafat. Little did he know, subhanallah, that it is not going to be the Muslims, it is not going to be the mushrikeen or the kuffar that are going to kill me. It will be those who are reading the kalima who will want to attack me, the hypocrites and the munafiqeen and the rebels that were to come. And then on one occasion, Allah's Nabi said, Alaykum bil Amin wa ashabihi. When the days of fitna come, be with this Amin. Can you imagine? Huzur alayhi salatu was salam shared that attribute which was his. Amin was his name. He said, be with this Amin and the people who are with him in the days of fitna. So why I am saying this, my respected brothers and elders, we understand that the best of people in this dunya had been tested and they witnessed turmoil and difficulty. But the management, the way they would cope was very different because of their level of iman. And that is why rumors, Allah bachai, it is rumors that is very, very dangerous. Ye jo rumors and gossip, bure khayalat karna, badzani. During the time of Hajj, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar was sitting, and an Egyptian man came to him and said, and he saw this old man and a lot of people were around him. So he didn't recognize this old man. He says, who is this man? They said, don't you know? The son of Umar, Abdullah. So he was old at that time. So he goes, oh, Abdullah ibn Umar. He said, so this Egyptian man came to him and said to him, look at the false rumors. He said that, how is it that you allowed Hazrat Uthman to be a Khalifa? Don't you know he did not participate in the battle of Badr? He was not there in the battle of Tabuk? And he ran away in the battle of Uhud. All of these blatant lies and rumors and false accusations. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar said, look at this man. You see, when you speak out of context, in Uhud, it was a sincere action, but an error in judgment. What was it? Sincere action. Sahaba thought that this is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam meant. So a group moved from one location to another, not intentionally going against Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these were people who have got a lofty position. Allah praises the people of Badr and Uhud. And he says, as for Badr, don't you know that Huzur alayhi salam himself gave him permission not to go for Badr and told him that you are to stay in Medina and look after my daughter Ruqayya. And don't you know that Tabuk, 1400 people pledged on death because of him. But look at how these people falsify false allegations and rumors and how fitna spreads. In those days there was no modern telecommunication and no internet, but even then look at the fitna, how it was building up and building up and building up, until they started saying to people that Uthman is a man who selects his family to become governors, he gives money to his family, and that he is doing innovation in Islam, introducing a second adhan. And he did this and he did this. All of these things, rumors, false allegations. Until a time came that so many people were caught into this. So many people were caught into this. And they came until Medina. But now the question is, my respected brothers, in the time of fitna, in the time of difficulty for you and I, because there is always a lesson, there is a great reflection for us to take a good moral from the life of a Sahabi. When Allah is saying, because you read the kalima, it doesn't mean that no harm will come to you. Harm will come to you. Tumhe takleef zarur aayegi. Tumhe jhanjora jayega. You will be put in that position. You will find things difficult, but you will able to cope because you have the connection with Allah. So what did Hazrat Uthman do with all the difficulties that he was facing? Very simple. He took the Quran, he was reciting the Quran, and he continued his life, and he took Quran to be the best friend, and he recited the Quran all the time. Ajib. So much so that even his death came whilst reciting the Quran. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And don't worry, Allah is sufficient for you. Allah is sufficient for you. Don't worry. And this is how he passed away. So from his life, what we also learn is that if difficulty comes, we should get closer to Allah more and more. What shaitan wants us to do is that when you have any kind of difficulty in your life, you stop praying namaz. I was talking to this brother, doesn't live in the UK. So he said, Mauli Sahab, you know what? Nothing is going right for me. I can't find a job, difficulty, this, that, this, that. I asked him one question. I said, brother, namaz padhte ho? Kabhi padhta hu, kabhi nahi padhta hu. Okay? Sometimes I read, sometimes I don't read. Bhai, what is this? And he says, before I was reading all the time, but now I have got no job, I can't afford my rent. You know, the landlords are kicking me out and I'm running from one property to another property and this is happening and I'm suffering and you know what, I'm traumatized and I can't read namaz. I said, this is exactly what shaitan wants. This is exactly what Shaitan wants. To put you in that situation. Look at the life of Hazrat Usman with all the difficulty. An army that is at his doorstep in Medina Munawwara. What does he do? The wife is saying it was his habit that he would read every night in one raka'at, one Quran. Every night in one raka'at, one Quran. He was a jayyad hafiz. He says, I can't imagine a day for my day to pass if I was not to read the Quran. They are at his door. There is a siege. People are saying, and we've covered this. He said, no blood in the city of Medina Munawwara. What are the morals? What lessons do we learn? We learn from this seerah that look, difficulty comes. When the difficulty comes, you have to increase your ibadat. And when you increase your ibadat at the time of difficulty, so imagine there is a trauma, a difficulty that has come to you now. Then what you were doing before, if that decreases, your level of ibadat becomes less, that means that you are playing with shaitan. But if it increases, alhamdulillah, you are at the right steps. You are doing the right thing. This is what we learn. And with the connection of the Quran and with the connection of Allah, and how many times he was told that this is something that is going to happen to you. Hazrat Umar was informed about how he will depart from his life on a number of occasions. Hazrat Osman was told, Hazrat Ali was told. He trained his companions, and that training was given to them so that we pick out the gems. We pick out the gems from their life and apply it to our life. Thursday night, he is sleeping. Jumerat, Shave Juma. Jumerat, he is sleeping. He takes a nap. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to see him in the dream. And says, Ya Uthman, he wakes up in his dream. He says, Labbaik Ya Rasulullah. He said, have they prevented you from drinking water? Hazrat Usman said, Naam Ya Rasulullah. They've even stopped giving me water. Look at the taklif. You know, we have that taklif. We have a bit of taklif. But subhanallah, we have running taps, running waters, hot water in our house. Our fridge is filled with drinks. With the trauma difficulty. Here, the son-in-law, Damad-e Rasul, family of Rasulullah, Ahl-e Bayt. They have stopped giving you water. Ya Rasulullah, they've stopped giving me water. They have stopped giving you food. Ya Rasulullah, they are not giving me food now also. Nobody should give food to him. The wife is there, they stopped food. They have stopped you from coming to my masjid. Yes, Ya Rasulullah, they have stopped me also. I can't even pray. The masjid is there. I can't come to your masjid. Look at the difficulty. Look at the azmaish. Look at the test. The best people went through. But how connected they were to Allah and His Rasul. This is the thing we have to see. And you know what? In the dream, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Uthman, don't worry. We are waiting for you. I am waiting for you with Abu Bakr and Umar. And we will do iftari together with the fruits and food of Jannah. Aha. This is Iman. Today a bit of taklif. We have a bit of taklif. Sometimes, you know, we feel, oh, I made dua in Fajr. By Maghrib, my dua should be accepted. Ah, tu bara koi. What should I say? I made dua in Fajr. Should be accepted in Maghrib. Otherwise, I won't make dua. Astaghfirullah. What a rebel. We are rebels. Allah forgive us. Hum to dhokebaz log hai. Dhokebaz. We are rebels. Jab Allah dete hai, تو کھاتے ہیں, اللہ نے تھوڑی تکلیف دی, بھول گئے, اللہ ہی کو بھول گئے, اللہ کا دروازہ بھول گئے. And then he says to his wife, the wife is saying, you seem to be so happy. He says, of course I'm happy. He says, now you don't have to worry. He said to his wife, you don't have to worry about me. There's a smile on his face. There's a smile on his face because Allah's Nabi told him we are doing iftari together, but he still recalls at least 10 times my Nabi told me that they will murder you. There is this question mark in his mind. How will I be murdered? How will I be murdered? Allah's Nabi did not tell me this. How will they torture me? How will my death come? Will they burn the house? Will my wife also burn with me? Will they drown me? Will they drag me? Will they hang me? What are they going to do? How are they going to, you know, take this ruh out of my body? But still, contentment, contentment, contentment. Why contentment? Simple. Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. When you are connected to Allah, the more zikr of Allah you are doing, your hearts are content. What is it? Nothing, anything can happen to you. Anything can happen to you. It makes no difference. So he's ready there, bas. And he decides, and he's now praying the Quran, and they come, and then eventually he becomes shaheed, and he falls on the Quran, and his blood stains the Quran, subhanallah, on the verses, which is still there, I believe, in Turkey. Subhanallah. And zulm does not end even after he dies. Why I am saying this, my respected brothers, so that we understand, Allah is saying, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا. Because you have said, لا إله إلا الله, it does not mean you are immune. Things are going to happen to you. Best of the people suffered, but remember, the end is the best. But for these people, such were the rebels and the munafiqeen. Imagine, they did not even allow him to have a public janazah. They refused. They said he has to be given a private janazah. And then they said, we refuse for him to be buried in Jannatul Baqi. Oh, so they buried him far away from Jannatul Baqi. Look at the kudrat of Allah. The expansion of Jannatul Baqi became so much that now he is buried in Jannatul Baqi. He is also in. But what I want to end with, my respected brothers, let's go back to that riwayat of Sahih Bukhari. Muhaddiseen have made kalam on this. Do you recall where Allah's Nabi was sitting in the garden of Medina? Remember? And I forgot to mention this. Huzur alayhi salatu was salam was sitting here. With him was Hazrat Abu Bakr, and with him was Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Uthman, when he came, he did not sit next to Hazrat Umar. He sat across Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he sat across. The ulama of hadith are saying that this sitting position in reality is the burial position that the hadith talks about, that even today, Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar are together, and if you look at where Hazrat Uthman is buried, across. So if you come out from Masjid al-Nabwi and stand straight, if there were no gates and no doors, and if you're walking straight across, you will come to the mazar of Hazrat Uthman. And so this is also how it is mentioned in the hadith. Not just the event, but a picture of how they will be buried has also been explained in the hadith. Allah give us the tawfiq, my respected brothers. These were beautiful people who came in this dunya and they left. But what lessons do we learn? And this is something very important. A lot of people feel like this. Kabhi koi new Muslim hai? I have seen some new Muslims, because of trauma, they go back to kufr. Wait, is this what you became a Muslim for? You left Islam just because of a bit of difficulty? Oh, my husband doesn't look after me. Oh, my husband, oh, I mean, what are you doing? What, did you expect the lollipops are going to remain forever in your mouth? You are not going to be spoon-fed, my brother. You have to come to the masjid. And so these are things that are very important. Every Muslim needs to understand that. The more you are connected with Allah, that musibat will hit you. It will hit you. Lekin jo aadmi bulletproof vest pehnta hai, to uski bullet kya hai andar? Nahi jaati hai. So Allah has given us this vest of iman. What is it? Allah has given us this vest of iman that we can cope and we are managing with any difficulty and trauma that comes. The more you are connected with Allah, the more life will become easy. Allah Pak, give us all the tawfiq. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.